Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael from the Yehuda Project. We thank everyone for being diligent with being on our program today. We just wanted to let everyone know that this is a very special airing that we have going on right now, and we have an opportunity that's becoming available for us. So I am opening up the chat room for those who have to go on through the Internet so that you'll be able to participate. We have some very special guests attending our show today that is calling in from Israel. So we are waiting for them to come on the line, and we thank all of you for being so very diligent in actually responding to our call today to make yourselves available for this particular call. While we're waiting on them, I am going to play a song, as I always do, so that we can give them time to call in. All right, here we go. I hope you like the song. Shalom, shalom. Without any further ado, I think that we have our co-host on the line, and we also have the individuals from Israel on the line as well. Let me get my co-host on. Brother Adoniah, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adoniah. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, and I see that they are already on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and open up their mics. Mahalia, are you there?
Yes,
shalom.
I am.
Shalom, shalom,
shalom.
How are
everyone.
You today?
Shalom, shalom.
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Great, great. Well, we have a lot of people that have responded to our text that we sent out about the opportunity that is being made available in Israel for those who may want to go over and actually be employed there. So I'm going to go ahead and let you take the mic and introduce yourself, and you can just take it from here.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's evening here in Israel, but we're late birds. It's okay. My name is Malia Goodman, and I'm the author of the book Israel Secret Cult, and I am also an ex-member of the African Hebrew Israelite community that's based here in Israel. What is happening is I have been working very closely with other ex-members of the community, and we have been trying to correct some of the issues that have developed over the past 40 years, you know, with the leadership in Dimona. So there were a lot of problems that had resulted in that social experiment in Dimona, and we realized that, and we accept our part in the failure to really go as far as we could to reach our full potential. So we're back today, and we're working together. And we are just trying to put a new face on the Hebrew Israelite community here in Israel, because the book that I wrote was letting everyone know that the community itself had disintegrated into a cult-like community. And so many of the members have left. There is sort of like a skeleton crew that's still left in Dimona. However, you know, it is my purpose and goal right now, and as well as working with other people to seek solutions rather than just to talk about the problems. We want to seek the solutions. And so I'm working at this time very closely with the organization Members of a Better World. And it is an organization that was founded by two brothers that were members of the community. And one of them is here with me this evening, and his name is Yeshaya Ben Shaliach. And there is another young brother by the name of David who is also a member of that community who has just recently come to Israel. So we are very, very proud, and we're very excited about the progress that this particular organization has made. And there are a lot of information that we want to be able to give to the people, because the question that is on the minds and the lips of so many Hebrew Israelites today, I know I have personally been inundated with requests as to how to get to Israel, what is it like in Israel, and we understand the time of the signs of the times, you know, prophetically, you know, what is taking place around the world. So how do we get there? And so we don't have all of the answers, but we do have a lot more information and a lot more solutions today to present to you. You know, we're working tirelessly on the behalf of our brothers and sisters that are still in the community in Dimona and around Israel and worldwide. So that was our purpose this evening, to come and bring you the information to answer your questions. And without further ado, I'm going to let the co-founder, Yeshaya Ben Shaliach, I would like for him to give a brief history of the organization and their mandate, and he can answer any, he can give information on what is happening now in terms of getting people into the land, what's happening, and answer any of your questions. So I'm turning the mic over to him.
I'd like to say Shalom, shalom. to the hostess and the brother with her, the host, and say that we're very proud and pleased to be able to share information tonight concerning Members of a Better World, which is our organization here in Israel. Members of a Better World is a non-profit organization or NGO, non-government organization, but it takes advantage of the full sanction, legal sanction of the state of Israel, and as such has become a method through which we have access to tools, resources, learning skills, education in the area of computer skills, in the area of English language teaching, and our primary goal is community uplift and helping communities to grow toward self-sufficiency and independence. And we have started this organization over a year ago, and it has been attracting a great deal of attention from Israelites, both here in Israel and apparently internationally. So we're here to entertain any questions that you may have about what Members of a Better World is doing, has done, and has plans to do in the future. But we do want to say welcome to any of those who are Hebrew Israelites who will have a desire to journey to the Holy Land and fulfill that part of today's prophecy. And we're eager to welcome you and here to help you and are anxious to share any of the resources that we have with you. But we remind all those who would join us or are interested in coming to Israel that the motto of Members of a Better World has been well chosen, and it's a simple three-word motto, and it is do the work, because there's much work to be done.
All right. Okay. Well, I wanted to welcome you. Thank you so much for being a host on our program today. We do appreciate you taking the time. We know the time difference is a lot. So we have a lot of people on the line who have responded to our call for this information. I would like to let everyone know if you have any questions at all about the program, about what it's offering, what you would like to know, please feel free to push one. This is one of those shows where we encourage you to ask as many questions as possible so that we can make sure that everyone is aware of what they are offering. And I have a question for you. I didn't get your name, brother. Could you please repeat your name for me?
My name is Yeshaya.
Yeshaya, okay. Ben
Shaliach.
Brother Yeshaya.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was only saying that if it's easier for those who feel the Hebrew is difficult, the name is the same as the name Isaiah.
Okay, great, okay. Okay, yes, Yeshaya. I wanted to know, for people who are coming to Israel just to visit, for us that are coming to just visit, because I've lived abroad before, I've actually lived in another country, so I understand that there are things, the country that I actually lived in, they actually spoke English. So going to Israel, planning a trip to go to Israel just to visit, will your organization be there to help with translators and understanding the money exchange and all of the things necessary to be able to embrace the culture once we get there for a visit?
Right. We have individuals here who have been here long enough to be able to help with Hebrew translation. Between English and Hebrew, you wouldn't have any problems as far as language barrier is concerned. As long as you are with someone who is familiar with the Hebrew language, And it doesn't take an entire lifetime to become familiar with Hebrew enough to negotiate in Israel.
Okay, okay. Now, when it comes to economic development, I know that that is what you all are promoting in community development. The jobs that are going to become available, do you have like an outline of all of the positions that you would need, or you all putting that together, or how would that work in terms of exactly what you need? For instance, you need plumbers, electricians, different things like that to help build up a specific community in Israel?
Of course, we intend to make available as many positions as possible in the building trade areas, because one of the parts of our mandate is to provide homes for the elderly here. So there will be building projects, and there will be a need for those in the building trade. At the same time, there is a great deal of emphasis, as there is globally, in information technology and data processing. And so we also teach in those areas and are welcoming of and are anxious to have with us those who are interested in information technology and data processing. Those kinds of skills are needed as they are globally. We welcome seek to raise the skill levels of those who are interested in becoming more conversant in information technology and data processing.
I'm not quite sure. One moment. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I was simply saying that in the area of information technology and data processing, we are honing our skills, and we have a mandate that is inclusive of a number of areas, social development areas, where we have youth counseling and are seeking those who are professionals in those areas. We deal with a level of telemarketing, national and international call servicing. We have areas to develop in marketing and advertising. We need persons with professional skills in those areas, and we need persons who are interested in training to become skilled in those areas.
Okay, okay, so...
If I could just interject something, Yaina, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I
okay.
can hear you.
Basically, what we're talking about is we're talking about dealing with communities that have been underdeveloped. You know, since the time that we first came to Israel, you know, there's been we were struggling with the whole process of immigration. We did not have work permits. You know, we did not have proper housing. You know, there were so many areas that, you know, there was a lack of. And our way of life was totally different. You know, we along with not having the funds and the status as the other Israelis here in Israel, you know, we struggle to maintain our own customs and beliefs, having our own midwives to deliver our babies. And so there was a lot of health problems and different things that were, right, health challenges that existed. And even though we do have permanent residency status, you know, there has been a lot of issues that still plague us today. So our youth definitely need a lot of counseling, you know, but in terms of real progress, there has not been a real progress, you know, that could have been made had we really had the correct leadership that we, should have had. So we are really a community that is underdeveloped and is in need of everything. You know, we're in need of transportation. We don't even have proper transportation. Most of us are on welfare, and we're using public transportation to get around. You know, if you have a car, you are really one of the lucky ones, one of the very few. You know, so there's a lot here that needs to be done to correct the situation. So these are the kinds of people that we're looking for. And then prophetically speaking, we understand the signs of the times, and we need people that know and understand and have survival skills and can teach these things. We have opportunities to grow food and opportunities to get out on the land and examine the land. Now, the young brother here, David, he has traveled the world as a researcher historian and geographer. And so he can also shed a little bit of light on what he has seen in the short time that he's been here and how he's aiding and assisting in the organization. So, Brother David.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
As far as the things that I've seen worldwide, of course, traveling throughout different parts of Africa and America, researching the lost tribes, we all suffer from the same, as well as when we come into the land. We all suffer from the same issues, you know, the same lack. We lack economic power, you know, and I don't want to say education, but I definitely have to say education, because Most High said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So with that knowledge comes power. If you got power to pay yourself, you have no need to go looking for someone else to pay you. You have need to sustain yourself. You have no need to go looking elsewhere for economic development. So what the Members of a Better World is trying to bring to this community is not go and obtain jobs elsewhere. We would like to create them ourselves here in the land to provide more opportunities for our youth. You know, idle time is also time for the enemy to work. So by us not having these opportunities, it leaves our youth open for, you know, the worst, you know, drugs, alcohol, et cetera. The same way in the West, same way in Africa. So what Members of a Better World is trying to bring to the table is not only jobs, but to create these jobs where we pay our own, where we produce for our own, manufacture our own, for our own.
Absolutely. Shalom. This is Adonia. Am I being heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We hear you clearly.
Kane, I implore everything that you're doing. I think that's a magnificent concept, and I think that you're working, that you're doing a very good job. You understand? One of my main concerns is us setting up industry. You understand? Are we able to get land so that we can start producing sustenance for our own folks, you understand, to keep us alive, you understand, to sustain our living, you know, after this great wrath that's going to come from the Creator, you understand. That is my main concern here, you understand, because we don't want to have to go to the other nations to lean on them, you understand, as we are always wanting to do. You understand? We think that they could save us, but they can't. We could save ourselves through the help of the Almighty. You understand? And I think that that the cry right now should be that we, you know, like you had mentioned, is that we need all facets of folks that could do some things to put together some stuff. You understand? To work in the fields, to build houses. You understand? And are we able to attain land there? You understand? Is that going to be a difficult task, or have you got land that we could work on? You understand? My thing is that it's been mentioned about the real Jerusalem. You understand? If that can be confirmed and substantiated, you understand? Then how can we attain that land to work on it? Because it's like it has been on the video that I've seen, is that, and it's written in the scriptures that land was supposed to be barren. Wasn't supposed to be nobody on that land till we get there. And it's supposed to yield its produce to us. You understand? That's supposed to be the land flowing with milk and honey. Once we get there, that land's supposed to produce for us. You understand? So those are the things that I'm concerned with. And I love everything that you're doing. Don't get me wrong, man. I think this is the time for it. You understand? I've been affiliated with Yisrael for 35-plus years. You understand? And things have happened in the past. I think that when Ben Amin went to, brought everybody to, what's name, that was the start of something that was supposed to happen in the latter days. You understand? That was to establish us as Black Hebrew Israelites or African Israelites. You understand? That establishes us in that region right now. You understand? There's going to be a second wave here. You understand? We got to prepare ourselves for the second wave. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother. And we agree heartily with everything that you said, the concern with having our own land and as the basis of our own sustenance is paramount in all of our minds here, as well as the skills training that we've spoken of and the education on all levels. And yes, this is the second wave, and it's a hands-on situation that we're seeking to maintain so that we can continue to build. I want to say that prophetically we understand that a 40-year period has always prophetically been a season that brings about a reckoning at the end of those 40 years, just as there was a transition from the time of Moses to the time of Joshua. And Joshua's charge, of course, was to go and take the land itself. So some have said we have done our 40-year period wandering in the wilderness, as so to speak. And yet we have to give ourselves credit and give Yah all the credit for our being allowed to establish ourselves here, my brother, and to sustain ourselves up to this point. However, we want to say that Members of a Better World is cognizant of the prophetic charge and the prophetic timing that this particular part of the era means for Israel. And it's now time to move into those areas, and inclusive of that is the recognition that we must have land of our own, and we must have the means to sustain ourselves on that land. And I think Brother David can and shared some interesting light on the same subject also.
Yes, brother. Well, what we are doing, we are calling on all doctors, lawyers, construction foremen, real estate agents, you name it, across the board of the nation, worldwide. We're not just talking about in the West, worldwide, to come and build this thing. Because it's not going to just magically appear. You understand what I'm saying? Prophetically, we're going to be crying out to the Most High because of our oppressors ruling over us, even up until the end. But at the same time, it's going to take a nation to build a nation. It's going to take that. So what we need is all of these talented people that we have within our nation that are using their talents to build this current kingdom that they can come and build for the kingdom to come. We need doctors to come and circumcise our children. We need nurses to come and deliver our babies. We need foremen to come and head these construction projects. I have a little bit of construction experience myself. We need teachers to come and teach our babies. We need not just, teachers of all things, but teachers of the knowledge that we were destroyed for. You know, we need, what else? We need judges and elders so that we can seek the right proper counseling as needed because our youth is running wild, you know. And everybody's in disarray right now trying to uphold themselves, you know, trying to keep their own house from crumbling. When you know the Most High's house is lying in wait, and his people are lying in wait while everyone is taking care of their own house, this is what we're left with. We're not saying that what's going on right now is not in his will. What we're saying is it is time. And that 40 years has been a period of reckoning. Zion has been revealed. Now we should be seeing you all three times a year according to the law. Right? At least to come visit. But after that, if you're serious about building this nation, we can use that as well. Okay, we need all trades. Welders, electricians, you name it.
Blueprint readers.
Plumbers. All of that.
Engineers and architects. Everybody.
Hallelujah.
And we want to say, if we say 50. Uh-huh.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say we have someone that pushed one. So as soon as you're finished, I'll get them on the line. Someone has a question for you.
Okay. Just wanted to say briefly that Members of a Better World is primarily a source of resources, tools, and information to aid and abet the building process that we're facing and trying to promote to the best of our ability at this point.
All right. Area code 908, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from the United States, and this question is to Members of a Better World. I had Brother Dawyard talk about welcoming people into the community to do various things, and I was just wondering, would there be accommodation for people who would come over? That's my question.
Yes, we are making such arrangements as you speak, or as we're speaking now, we are in the process of making arrangements for those who are able to come. We're not in position at this point to handle millions of people, but we could use a good 100 initially. And we are preparing to be able to accommodate at least that many people who are ready to come and to do the work and involve themselves.
Thank you very much, and I applaud the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now I have a question for you, and I wanted to know, because this is the biggest question that I think that I have for the organization as a whole. Knowing the situation in Israel and the things that they are doing with the Africans that are there, how much participation from the actual Israeli government will they be accepting of us coming over? And the next part of the question is, you know, it's a three-part question. One is, how accepting are they of us coming over to help build the community? The next one is, you know, how long will they allow us to stay? And then the third question is, once we're there, we're not going to have to be, we won't have to conform to Judaism or anything like that. So that's my biggest question, because I'm always watching what's happening to the Africans there and you know, how much they are mistreated in a respect. And I'm sure you guys have heard about the coach here that is over the professional basketball team and the statement that he made.
Right.
He told them, he said, there are white Jews and there are black Jews, and in Israel the black Jews are treated like dogs. So I just want to be very clear. I just wanted you to clear that up for me in terms of the government itself.
Okay, we'll try to give you a two-part answer to that question. Going back to the fact that Israel initially, in its setting up of its statehood, was an aliyah country. That is to say, a part of its building process was setting itself up to help individuals make aliyah, that is, come and become a part of the country. Now, we have Ethiopian Jews who have come. We have Somalian Jews who have come. We have had Christians who have come, Islamic individuals who have come, and people who have come who profess to be Jews. So initially, the country has been set up to welcome and help to welcome people here. The second thing is that in Israel, those who come must face the reality that if they come and are not a part of an organization, they need to get themselves organized as quickly as they possibly can when they do come here. That is to say, except that you're only coming to visit, if you're planning to come and to put some time into this land and become part of this land, you would want to embrace or be a part of an organization. This is one of the areas which we ourselves and our 40-year sojourn did not do initially when we came. That is to say, we did not embrace Aliyah partly for the reason that you mentioned. We felt that we had to protect our cultural norms and, in fact, resist any effort on Israel's part to make us conform to what it was that they had for us to do. But at the same time, Israel, by its very nature, has had to respect other cultures because this is such a cross-cultural area. Muslims, Christians, Jews, all living together in this country. So all of those factors impinge upon an arrival and a successful living and a successful adaptation to life in Israel. So one of the things that Members of a Better World stresses is come join us, become a part of Members of a Better World, because we are a state-sanctioned organization, and it is better to be a part of that or to be a part of a community as well as a part of a sanctioned organization. We're saying that that's the most protected manner that we could suggest for coming successfully and getting involved in the Holy Land.
Now, will we be able to obtain work visas? Or, you know, the length of time that we would be able to stay, would we be able to obtain work visas and actually work in Israel under your organization building this community? And then my next question would be the materials and the things that you need, because we have a lot of educated people in Israel, in our nation as a whole, you know, people who have gone to the school of education here in the Western Hemisphere and learn different things. And I'm sure, well, I guess what I want to know is, will the Israeli government promote us helping to boost their economy? Because we don't, you know, we've already built this country. Our ancestors built this country off of the backs of our ancestors.
No question.
This country has been built. So
no
we
question.
Don't want to have to build another country. And as we said last week, you know, Ghana has apologized to us for selling us into slavery and offered us the invitation to come back to their country, you know, if we want to come and leave the United States. So I guess my question is, and we don't want to go build another country. We would more want to put our efforts into building Israel. Will they welcome us boosting their economy, and will we get work visas doing that?
Absolutely. It would be somewhat naive of them not to do so. This was the point of their Aliyah program initially. This state, this young state of Israel, has not been built from within. It has been built from without. It has been built by the immigration of cultures and peoples from all over the world. Jews from parts of Europe and sections of Europe, Jews from Africa, Israelites from many, many parts of the world have come here and have shown Israel that we have brought the talent and the capabilities, the education and knowledge and the skill set to benefit the growth of the state of Israel.
And also, we would hope they would welcome you, meaning that this place has been built off of your American tax dollars since the 60s up until today.
Right. So will your organization, are you actually working with the government itself? Once you create your organization and you receive, I know you're talking about receiving funding, grants to do different things and allow different things to take place. Are you going to be working closely with the Israeli government to be able to make sure that when we do come over, we will have the capabilities of working under a work visa? And then my next question would be, what fail-safe mechanisms have you all put in place to make sure that what happened before with the Dimona situation will not take place again?
The fail-safe mechanism is joining or creating an Amutaf, which is a nonprofit organization which is ran primarily by what's called the Ministry of Amutot, or the ministry that oversees non-government organizations and nonprofit organizations and how they function. We have read, studied the guidelines that have been provided, and they are, in effect, a set of built-in protections for allowing a parity and allowing a quid quo pro kind of relationship wherein everyone that is involved is protected in an equal way. It's the equivalent for an organization of a constitutional relationship with the state of Israel. That is to say, it limits what the state of Israel is able to help us with, and it also limits us from being able to do things that are outside of the guidelines that might be harmful to the state of Israel. It was the alternative that had we chosen it initially, we would never have gotten into the kind of unilateral governance situation that Dimona got itself into over the last 40 years, where it ultimately deteriorated into a cult-like situation that was untenable for everybody involved. And what didn't happen was the leadership was not being held accountable in ways that it should have by the people themselves. So we have created an organization that will allow us now to seek accountability not only from the state of Israel but for ourselves and all of the members of our community, which protects our cultural rights, protects our human rights, protects our economic rights, and prevents us from sliding into a situation where we're trapped in a dependency, either on a leadership or a political group, or a dependency on a welfare system because of low skill sets. So, yes, we are at the point where we are welcoming and eager to interact with those groups and those individuals who have skills, who are educated, who are ready to get involved, who are ready to come not just to the state of Israel, but to the land of Israel, with a desire to have a kingdom that reflects the righteousness that Israel was meant to be about in, originally.
Okay. Now, with your ordinance, let me make an announcement real quick, because I have a whole lot of questions, and I don't want to dominate the show. So if there are people out there that have questions, please feel free to push one. We want to make sure that we cover all of your questions. That is the reason for this episode, to make sure that the brothers and the sister have an opportunity to answer any and all questions that you may have, because there are a lot of people that are considering leaving the United States because of the economic situation that we're in, because of the moral decay that we're experiencing here, and they're looking for places to be able to come. My next question is this. With your board of directors, and I'm assuming that you do have a board of directors.
Okay, yes. We have a staff and a board of directors.
Okay, with your board of directors, are your board of directors mixed with male and female, or is it still a male-dominating organization, or how has that changed at all?
By no means. We wouldn't... we wouldn't miss out on the talent and the energy and the power of the feminine spirit. We wouldn't allow ourselves to be deprived of that. So there is no dominant male chauvinism, nor sidelining or sub-marginalizing of women in what we do. It is, in fact, again, outside of the guidelines that are provided by the Ministry of Amatot.
Hallelujah, that is a good thing to know. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Okay, well, I mean, you know, those are the questions that I am, and I'm assuming from yesterday, from speaking with Mahalaya, that you would like people to come over that already have resources in terms of monetary resources, so they don't have to come over and get on welfare, and then once everyone comes and they actually get started to working, you will be working toward receiving grant monies and funding for you to be able to pay the workers that you have coming over. Is that how you're planning to do this?
Not only to work on funds and grants to pay workers, but, yes, to support all of the projects that we are mandated to get involved in and to help to sponsor. Essentially, Members of a Better World is a pro-growth organization who has organized itself to help communities better themselves and move toward self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are a lot of groups that are actually there that are actually living what we are trying to establish right now, and they are in the land and are permitted, from what I'm understanding, to be in the land and actually grow their organizations with other outside support and resources.
Absolutely.
Well, I just would like to say at this juncture that Israel has, for everyone internationally, a three-month visa. You can come, you know, Israel is one of the largest tourist attractions in the world. And so without the tourist trade, you know, it would have a devastating effect on the economy. So I couldn't see any reason why they would not be able to benefit, and they would not want to see, you know, the Christians coming in and the Hebrew Israelites coming in, because we don't see enough of the churches coming in. We see a lot of everybody else, but we don't see enough of our own coming in. Not to leave anybody out, but I'm just saying this is something that's viable for Israel, those that's living around the world. It's, you know, trade it is just something that every country wants to develop and increase. So you always have the 3-month visa that you can always reapply to extend, and then you have all of the other things that the AMUTA or the Organization of Better World is offering as well. I would also like to point out that there is also some goals of the organization to create entities in the United States which will offer exchange programs and bring business to Israel from America and around the world. So these are all goals, long-term and short-term goals for the organization.
Correct.
But however, you know, just like any religious organization or, you know, we are asking for support. You know, it's very important, you know, for Hebrew to understand that they do need to make the pilgrimage and they do need to support us because our endeavor is to be able ultimately to bring anyone here that wants to come. Anyone that wants to come and work for a period of time and return to America, everyone does not want to come here to live and to stay. However, we understand the signs of the times, and so I believe that the Holy Creator is making this possible for us right now because he knows that the time is near. They are investigating land right now. There are numerous things that's too early in its growth and development to really go into right now. But I can assure you that plans are being made for the allotment of land, government grants, but there are certain stipulations and guidelines that these organizations must adhere to.
Right.
So everything cannot be divulged this evening, but I just want everyone to know that it is of the utmost importance to support the program, you know, whether you are coming here physically, you know, or not. So I'm sure these brothers are going to want to share some of that information as well as to how you can send a donation. And like I said, those people, we need volunteers as well. Not going to be able to sustain with salaries everyone. So those that are willing to come and donate their time, you know, as volunteers. They have volunteer programs for that as well. So so all of these things are in the making, and so we definitely wanted to share that good news with you. And, you know, as I said, any other questions, please, you know, bring them now because those that sign up now, they have a website, Yaina. And the website is partially still under construction, but people will be able to go there, and they have a registration form that people can fill out, and then we're going to have a link that's going to be provided to you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on my YouTube channel. I don't know if you have a way that you can put it in your Blog Talk Radio. You know the writing that comes up underneath your show notes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I definitely can do that. And yes.
Yeah. So so basically, that's where we stand right now. But people can go to that website. People can look at the registration form, and I think that at this point in time, maybe the brother David can just let everybody know what the general mission statement is for the organization, just so everybody will be clear.
Okay. First off, as members of a better world, our goal is both to discourage and to prevent caused by complacency can become harmful to any community over time. Community members become lazy about or discouraged from successfully and effectively engaging in their community's self-governance and improvement must know they are important. Holding all community leadership accountable is a critical but necessary to access to resources self-reliance through applying the marketable skills and working knowledge which benefit ourselves and our progeny, meaning offspring.
Now, I just want everyone to know that this is a 31-year-old scholar here that we have with us, one of the first that was able to come into the land under this particular auspices of members of a better world. Now, the things that I am seeing here, I'm going to try to actually get Hoshua, Brother Hoshua, the watchman for the actual site, the holy site. I'm going to try to get some more video footage to share with you all. But they actually have, maybe you can explain it better than me, they actually have the area that was known as the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
And so we have that particular area that is planning to be rebuilt. We have visited the Valley of the Kings, and I have actually been there and seen the tomb, and there is so much that is going on here. We need everyone's hands, everyone's mind, and everyone's heart, and everybody's pockets. You know, pulling something out of their pockets to rebuild this land. And it's to try to describe to you the feeling that you get when you go to the New Jerusalem, the feeling that you get that there's an area that's located right around the area of the, they call it the Dead Sea, we like to call it the Live Sea. And it's an area that is prophetically been described as the area that we might go to during the end times. All of these things need to be closely examined, researched. We need scholars, archaeologists. Joshua has done so much just by himself. But we need these kinds of minds here. And so who knows what might come out of it, but just from what we have discovered, just with the few people here, it is it's really miraculous. So we are extremely pleased, extremely hopeful, and we just want to share that, and we just want everyone to know that Yah is making a way for us to come home. For you all to come home, you know, whether it's for 3 months or a lifetime.
Yes.
This is not just for us here in Israel. This is for all of us because Israel is the light of the world.
And just like the sister said, the Most High is revealing things now that he didn't reveal way back when, showing us that we have a location, we have a place to be. We have located Achan's grave. Remember Achan from Joshua 7 who was stoned for stealing the gold after we conquered Jericho? We have located the spot where we circumcised our men after we crossed the Jordan. Right. We have also located the Valley of Achor, which is a very serious place in prophecy. We have located Zion, of course, as well as Solomon's Temple, which we are not too far from right now. But I want to share something with you guys because the Valley of Achor and Zion is a very important place in prophecy concerning our people that we didn't know until now. But now it's being revealed through the Spirit of the Most High. I'm going to read a scripture if you guys don't mind. from Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, right? It says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. This wilderness is around the area which we call Zion, scripturally, where David's castle is, where the olive trees are there. You know, we'll have corn, wine, wheat, and oil. The olive trees are there. The grape vineyards are already there. It's miles and miles of wheat. You know, what else? The corn, wine, or the corn fields are there. Everything is surrounding this castle. Hyssop is also out there, and we know the Lord said he loveth Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. That's where his eyes are. And he says, I will allure her. When you look up this word allure in Hebrew, it means I will entice her.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I will allure her into the wilderness and speak comfortably with her there. Meaning when we get to this area, he's going to speak comfortably into us. Verse 15 says, I will give her vineyards from thence. Those are those great vineyards that are surrounding his castle, right? And the valley of Achor, which is at the Sea of Life, which they call the Dead Sea today, the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And we know door means the entrance, a gateway, you understand? Hope means something long for, something like the covenant. Something we've been waiting for, you know, the restoration of our kingdom, right? And then it says, I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came out of the land of Egypt. So these three, these places, right? Zion in the valley of Achor. But now we know today, which is, you know, the period of the reckoning, like the elder mentioned, God has shown us where we are. And this is the generation of them that seek his face.
Hallelujah.
We thought the other generation was a generation, but we were wrong, you know. And just like in the time we came out of Egypt, God didn't take Moses' generation. After these guys died off, what did he do? He took their children. You know?
And recircumcised them, meaning that he renewed the original covenant
mm-hmm.
with those who remained or who were to be prepared to come into this land under this particular dispensation. So the land is being prepared again for us, and we are being prepared again for residents in this land, and members of a better world is all about that, and is very proud and pleased to be involved in that entire process, which we consider a blessed process.
Yeah.
You know, I would just like to interject something briefly. You know, Yaina, when you asked about the state of Israel and its racial policies and all of that, you know, just like any Western society, there's always the upper class and the lower class. And basically the lower classes, they do the type of work nobody else wants to do.
Right.
And that's exactly the same here in Israel. You know, you have the Arabs, and they are basically, they build the roads. They're extremely good at masonry. You know, and they have a lot of those skilled type laboring positions. And the Africans that have come in, you know, they're doing a lot of, you know, they work in hotels and things like that. You know, and then the Ashkenazim, they hold all of the offices of power. You know, the Russians, the Ashkenazim. Now, I just want you all to know, you know, have no worries and have no fear about what kind of policies the state of Israel might have, because the God of Israel has his own new world order, his own plan, and no one can stop us from coming into that land at the appointed time. You know, the Sudanese, they walk miles to go out to the house of Yahweh. They walk miles in order to go out there just to pray. You know, a lot of people stumble across it not even knowing where it's at. But it is very desolate, you know, just as the Bible said. So, you know, it's not for us to try to understand God's plan. We just need to open up our minds and our hearts to be used as vessels to do his work and know and look for the signs of the time. So, yeah, we have all manner of African black people coming back to this land now. And it's not just them. You know, one of the first people to come out for the holy days was were Europeans, you know, and they celebrated right along with us and was very, very happy and supportive of our efforts. Excuse me. But I just wanted to say that this thing here is something that, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
It's something that is truly the hand of Yah. And it's truly the hand of Yah. So,
hallelujah.
Let us not be dismayed and let us just, like you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me make an announcement real quick while she takes a moment and gets some water and clear her voice. We have a lot of people on the line, and thank you so much for being so diligent to come onto the program. We have an organization in Israel that is making it possible to have exchange workers come over to Israel and actually work to stay in Israel for a certain amount of time to build up the land. And they're offering their information today about their program. I just wanted to let you guys know we thank you for allowing the Nation of Yehuda to be a part of this program and to be able to be the contact here, because we will open up our full resources to you as to whatever we can do to help you on this side of the United States to be able to do that for people to actually go over and begin to work and to build. There are a lot of people here that are unemployed. There are a lot of people here that are receiving unemployment benefits, and they cannot find jobs. Let's say, for instance, someone wants to come over and they have their resources are here in a bank in America and they want to come over and live. I'm sure that Israel has the necessary resources where they can use all of their monetary appendages like debit cards and credit cards and things like that, where they could actually use their American dollars in Israel and converted over into shekels, or I think yesterday she said it's 3.50 to 1. So I'm just definitely interested in finding that out. But before you guys answer that question, I have someone that pushed 1, and I want to get them on the line right away. Go ahead, you're on the air, area code 513.
I have a question. I've just been listening in when I can. But with what America sees, what's going on in Israel right now, how do you all guarantee the safety of the people that's going over there to build? Because, you know, it's a wonderful thing what you're doing, but it's such a great step of faith to leave this country with the protection of this country, because the rules and regulations over there are so different. How are you guaranteeing the safety of the people, bringing them to the knowledge of the rules and regulations over there? The culture is totally different. So what things do you have in place that will bring the people up to date with Israel's culture, policy, different things, so they don't get in trouble while they're over there? Thank you.
Well, sister, I have to be honest with you. I know you say the security and safety that's in America, right? Well,
yes.
7,000 people die every year in America. Those are war casualties. I know you might not look at it that way, but it's one of the most unsafest places on this earth. Just
right.
Throwing that out there. So as far
okay.
as safety
okay.
and security, the Most
uh-huh.
High God is our refuge. We only
right.
If you're looking for safety and security, in this organization or in, you know, the penal code system over here, we haven't received it in 400 years, let alone 2,000 years, but our safety is in the Most High God of Israel and in his law. That's our hedge. That's our hedge of protection.
But okay. Safety, I can understand
the laws that. Here, the laws here are not that hard to follow. I mean, there's no oppression with these laws here. Most of our oppression lies economically. But, I mean, this is a quiet town where we're at right now. We're in Zion. It's a quiet town. There's no crime. Kids play out at night all, you know, kids play out all night. You know, nobody's kidnapping any children. I don't hear of anything. You know.
And let me add to that, I would venture to say that more black people are killed or endangered over a Saturday night weekend in any of the urban areas of the United States than die in 5 years' time in Israel.
Any
case. 5 years' time in Israel. And Israel is, in effect, a military state in that it remains in readiness, so it is accustomed to a high level of security at all levels. Primarily, in our community, we had been able and still are able to go to sleep at night without locked doors.
Right.
Go to sleep at night without locked doors.
Open doors.
With open doors. It's primarily a communal way of living that we have. So we have far fewer worries about security issues here in Israel than you would leave as you leave the place that you are now. Believe me. You're also able to utilize your banking system and process. If you have a bank account there, this is the global era where digital speed and international capabilities allow you access to your funds. If you, for example, have a bank account at Bank of America, you can access those funds from right here. Israel is not a primitive society. It's not a third world country anymore. It's a first world country, or at least a second world country. in terms of services, capabilities, activities, we don't have outhouses. It's as modern as any place you might know of in the United States.
I just
want to
add.
Can I
add something right quick?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that I've lived here since 1980. And I cannot express to you, the sense of peace that I have found in the Holy Land. You know, there might be some places in America where you can still feel that way, but it's something that you just have to see for yourself, sister. You just have to see it and feel it for yourself. You know, when you walk into these holy mountains, you know, it's as if the ancients are whispering to you. It's like you're home. You know, we don't have the random acts of violence that there is in America. You know, when I do come to America and I visit, I always have an overwhelming sense of the unexpected. You never know what might jump out at you, you know. But here, there is nothing like that at all. And the people might be a little rude compared to America, you know, because they don't have the same diplomacy and all of that. Because, you know, these people all stem from third world places. However, in safety, Israel is one of the places in the world.
That's right.
Because, I mean, if you've ever heard of the Mossad, Israel is prized as they train everybody around the world in security.
El Al is the safest.
And then in terms of the organization itself and what it can offer you, mm-hmm. Israel has socialized medicine. So if you were to get sick, they have some of the best hospitals in the world. You know, so it's not like you're falling off the end of the earth, you know, and we're here to take care of you, you know, wherever you need to go, whatever you need to do, you know, we're here for you. And most importantly, just like the brother said, you know, when you are coming here to do the work of Yah, you don't have to worry about getting in your car to get to the airport, to get on the plane, to get here, and then after getting, because if you're working for Yah, you don't have anything to worry about. You're in a safer bubble, or for lack of a better, you have more protection around you than anybody else. So, you know, that's all I can offer you in terms of advice, you know, or information, you know, and I'm saying this from my heart. It's a beautiful place to visit. It's a beautiful place to live.
And to add on, I was wrong. I said 7,000 people die every year in America. I was wrong. I apologize. 7,000 people die every day in America. So America is a place for our chastisement. It's our place of our captivity. It's not safe. But this place is the place where the Most High's eyes are, along with milk and honey.
Let me make an announcement because we have a lot of people on the line, and I'm going to give the sister one more time to ask any questions that she may have. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. And I think that the problem is that we, the media in America here, has given us a perception that it's a continual war zone, and there's Scud missiles flying all over the place all the time, and everybody's running for cover. I think that's the perception that they put in our minds, and that we feel like that is what's actually going on. So, you know, I agree with everyone wholeheartedly.
It is truly a misconception. You know, it's amazing, you know, the people that choose not to come because they think that it's war-torn. And you have to go to the outer regions of Israel before you can see anything like that. You know, we live very peaceably. You know, they're Arabs. We get on the buses with the Arabs. The Arabs live, you know, all around us, you know, and we don't have any problems.
Just taught an English class. 9 Bedouin students, Bedouin Arab students who live right outside of the city of Arad. And we've had a great time together. I had a great time teaching them. They had a great time learning. And we remain friends to this day. And I've been invited to their village to have dinner and whatever. First of all, the southern region of Israel where we live is absolutely peaceful. You may hear about incidents of someone about to blow themselves up. That's not in this area. There have been incidents in the area called Gaza, but incidents that have to do with the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force, and some of the Palestinians who are considering themselves an oppressed people here. And there are some political upheavals, but nothing similar to what takes place over time in the areas like, should I start with Chicago? But any large urban area that you want to name is much more of a war zone than anything here. So you're right. The media trumps up a very mythical vision of what it is to live in Israel. So I've heard people say, isn't it dangerous in the Middle East? And I repeat, more black folks get killed on a Saturday night in Chicago than have died in the last 10 years in Israel.
Let me make an announcement real quick before you guys go any further. We have a lot of people on the line. We have an organization here that is allowing for anyone who wants to come to Israel and to work, to build the community there, to be a part of this organization. They are putting together a structured organization, well, it's already formed, for you all to be able to come to the Holy Land,
stay for on a work visa or however long that they will allow you to stay there to be able to work under certain conditions. And the question was asked, was it safe? So the comments that you heard a few moments ago was the brothers and sisters assuring everyone that it is safer there than it is in some of the streets of America that we're living in. Again, a lot of people are planning to make a final move out of America because we are looking at the economic downfall. We're looking at the moral decay that is going on here, and people are searching for places to go. And we felt at the Yehuda Project that we wanted to give this an opportunity for you all to be able to hear, because what better place to go than to go back to our own land? And we want the Israeli government to receive us as we boost the economy. We do not want people that are going to come over that is going to be negative. We don't want people that are coming over that is going to incite crime. We want positive people that are willing to come over and add a positive flavor to what they're doing and help to build our economy, because the nation of Yehuda is definitely involved. We're all the way in. We're boots on the ground. And we're going to be whatever they need us to do to help us to get this done, because I want to go to that mountain, and I have to be able to go. I'm going home. I'm coming home. So it's just a matter of when and not if. So we wanted, this is an opportunity for you all to ask all the questions that you have so that you will be able to know exactly for an assurity what this is all about and what they're going to have, because they have housing for us. They need, I'll let the brothers tell you. Sister 513, do you have any more questions?
Yes, I do. And I understand what everybody has said, and it sounds really good, you know, but you do have a lot of people out there that perceive Israel to be such a violent place, and I agree with that because of the media. My question in saying, is it safe, how are you going to reassure the people, okay, you can say it's more crime in America and there's no crime over there because you live there, but what if you do have some good people that want to go, but in their mind, their perception is, will I be safe? I'm uprooting my family. How do you reassure that? My question was, will there be some type of teaching on Israel and their culture? I mean, because transition is hard from community to community. You're talking about from one nation to another nation. So my question wasn't just, is it safe? Will there be some type of teachings on your religion, on the culture? I mean, because these people are going to have to learn to adapt, and that's not going to be a quick process, because it takes a while to get all that stuff, you know, out of a person's system, especially when they've been so programmed and they see Israel a certain way. And, you know,
Shalom, this is Adonia. If I may,
and I was saying, it sounds like a wonderful thing, but you do have some people that are going to have a lot of questions. They want to go, they want to help build, but it's always going to be that, but, I mean, you know, I'm a woman. Do I have to cover my head? How do I have to dress? How do I have to conduct myself? Because American women are different from women that live in Israel. How am I supposed to present myself? You know, so it's a lot of questions that people are going to have if they want to go over there and work. And that's why I ask, you know, because if people want to go somewhere and help, they do want to feel safe. They do want to feel like that's their land, you know.
Okay, let me answer the question for the sister. That is why the Nation of Yehuda has agreed to be the organization to help to make the transition, you know, once we sit down with the brothers and the sisters with the organization, so that there can be classes that will be put together, understanding the monetary system, understanding the dress code, understanding the language. I don't think that it would be a good idea for anybody to just pick up and leave tomorrow. We're putting systems in place right now so that people who do want to come to Israel, who are interested in being a part of their program, there's a filtering system, there's a teaching system, so that everyone knows what to expect, and so that when we pass the names off to the better, a better world and give them the information. These are people who have already been vetted. They've already been educated. They've already been secured, and they're ready to go. So I wouldn't encourage anyone to just pick up and just decide, okay, I'm going to live in Israel right now. No, they're, you're right. There has to be a period of transition because, to be real honest with you, sis, and I know this sister very well. You know, this sister is a part of Christianity, and she's a Hebrew Israelite. And to be very honest with you, that one day we're leaving this place for good. And I think of this all the time in terms of how we're going to feel to walk away from Uncle Joe's Corner Store and walk away from Kroger's Grocery Store and walk away from all of the things that we've been so accustomed to in this land for as long as we've been here. And you're right, there has to be a transition before you can make a move like that and just jump from one country to the other. So that's why we at the Nation of Yehuda, we have offered all of our resources to this organization so that, that we can sit down with them, figure out what they want, how they want it done, how we can be a contact point here in America to help the people come through the system, learn the things that they need to learn, and then be ready to go over into Israel so that they're not, we're not sending people over there completely oblivious as to what to expect.
We thank you for that, sister.
I just want to say...
I have another question, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take up everybody's time. How long is that training process for those that want to be connected but want to get more information? How long would you say that training process is before their names can be submitted?
We're working all that information out right now. We're that the purpose for the whole... the conversation today is to get everyone in, familiar with what they're wanting. And we're going to sit down with their board and work all of that out so that you can feel that comfortable with knowing as much as you need to know. Because if you take a trip right now to Russia or you take a trip right now to Germany, if you decide to book a trip and go to Germany just to see the land and the culture and all those things, you know, very, very few people take the time to actually go through learning the language and learning the monetary system and learning the culture and understanding, you know, like I said, when I moved into England and I lived abroad, they spoke English, but their monetary system was different. It took two of our dollars to one of the British pounds. So understanding that we were thrown into that situation because we were actually in the military, but when you don't have the military as a foundation, that is what we're trying to provide at the Nation of Yehuda and through A Better World, the foundation that you'll need in order to say, okay, I'm comfortable now, I'm ready to go. And you're not going for a year. You know, what we advise everybody to go over for, like she said, some people may go for a month, some people may go for 90 days, the allotted period, but at least we're going to get you familiar with everything.
I would like to admonish everyone within my hearing to really know and understand, try to get an understanding of where you are right now. And the reason I'm saying that is because Yah has commanded us. He has given us commandments to follow. And the things that are going to be taking place on this earth should make everyone tremble.
Yes.
I'm saying to you right now, there is nothing that is worse than being in America, the great whore that has done nothing but terrorize our people. There is nothing that I can't think of a place on this planet that I would not want to be in at the appointed day that Yah makes his return. Now, if you feel as though that's a safer place, then that's where you need to be.
Mm.
But I'm saying to you that when we left America back in the 70s, they went to Liberia, and they went into the bush, and they had mosquitoes, they had snakes, driver ants, they had every manner of thing, and they went there to purge themselves. And after they got to Israel, they didn't have any work permits. They didn't have any houses waiting on them. They didn't have anything. They slept underneath tables and in hallways. They didn't have medical care at that time. They had to use each other's passports and things like that. They didn't have anything. They said, we're not going to come in as Jews. We're coming in as Hebrew Israelites. They went in on faith. And we're still here. And our grandchildren are still here. I have 10 grandchildren, and they're all healthy and fine. And ain't none of them been raped. And I've never been mugged. I'm saying to you that there are some people that are going to move by faith, and Yah will bless them. I'm not saying don't do your homework. I'm saying to you that this is not the time. This is not the time to be right. Letting fear paralyze. You have to know in your heart. You have to know in your heart what time it is. And the luxuries is just like Yaina said, the luxuries of America, that's just temporary. All of
yes,
that is temporary. So, you know, that's all I can say on that.
I have to say something, too. Meditate on what she just said as well. Another thing, if we have to convince someone or sell it to someone to do what the Most High said, we don't really want you to come, because you know what you're going to do? You're going to come, you're going to bring sin upon the people. You out there, you know who you are. If you're convicted in your heart and your spirit and you know what's right, we need you. For those of you who, you know, you need to sell this to you, to tell you, oh, we got some, you know, apartments half price and what they're going for in Chicago. No. Sorry. This is not for you. But we need the men and the women of this nation with the spirits that they have to build this nation. Exactly.
Can you guys hear me? Because it sounds like my phone has a lot of static. And I wanted to make a comment, you know, because we got to understand, all of us have to understand that with the Yehuda Project, we have a lot of people on this line. We have people who are conscious. Then we have people who are becoming conscious. And then we have people who are unconscious on this phone line as to who they are and how it relates to the scriptures. So some of the questions that you may receive and some of the feedback you may receive is based out of where their conscious level is in terms of who they are. So, you know, we have to be a little sensitive, you know, when we have questions and people appear, though, you know, they're not sure. These people are becoming conscious. We have Christians on this line. We have Muslims on this line. We have Hebrews on this line. We have Caucasian Europeans, I'm sure, that are on this line to hear what it is that we're talking about. So, you know, when those kind of questions are vetted toward us, you know, this is people who have been for so long, and we have lived in this place for so long, that it takes time to really educate these people and get these people ready for making the transition. And that's what the Nation of Yehuda will be about. So that is where we will cover the training for them so that they understand, don't be afraid. This is our homeland. This is where we're from. The Most High's eyes are on it all the time. You know, that this is his place. This is his city. This is his land, and he will not let anything, and I repeat, anything happen to you. We have a major job in front of us here at the Nation of Yehuda. We have been given access to the Christian church. So we're about to walk into an entity that's been around forever and ever, especially the black church, and be able to be there for them when the Most High takes the scales off of their eyes. So these kind of questions you're going to have all the time, because people are going to want to know, and I'm sure they did Moshe the same way when they were coming out of Egypt. Well, how do we know we're going to be all right in the wilderness? Well, you've never been in the wilderness before. They complained when they got there about the leeks and all this other. Well, at least in Egypt we had leeks and we was – they did all kinds of stuff. But these are people who are not fully conscious. So that is why –
we're glad that you have allowed us at the Nation of Yehuda to be there for these people and to reassure them that it's going to be okay, because this indoctrination goes deep. We have been indoctrinated for a long time, and to just shake that off, it takes a lot. So, you know, that's why we wanted to make that comment. Now, I'm going to open up the mic. Brother Donia, you had something you wanted to say? Brother Donia, are you there? He might have had his phone on mute. Let me go to Eric 51. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had a comment? Maybe something's wrong with his phone. I don't want to hold it up anymore, but I have area code 513, and she's been on hold for a minute. Area code 513, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Shalom, can you hear me?
Shalom. Yes,
shalom,
ma'am.
Shalom, can you? Shalom, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Okay, shalom family, peace and blessings. This is Sister Tamara. Thank you for the invitation to the program.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Elder
Shalom, Adonia. Shalom, this is Adonia. Can you hear me?
Yes, Adonia, we have a caller on the line. If you can just hold on one moment. Go ahead,
go ahead.
Sister Tamara.
I tuned in a little late, but it sounded like a very worthwhile conversation, one that I definitely would like to have been on time for, so I do apologize that I unfortunately tuned in late. I'm going to be traveling along with a couple of other delegates from the United Nations of Israel on an invitation.
I'm sorry, we missed out on her one moment. Area code 908, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, shalom. I have two questions. I
yes,
had the
ma'am.
Brothers talk about they've located so many things, the Valley of Akka, the grave, of Chan and stuff like that. And my question is there a place, like a website, we can get this information, or are there any documents they can send us about all this stuff that they're able to locate so that we know what's going on and we can be motivated to come over? And then also the other question is, members of Vetawald are building this community afresh, and I was wondering, because I've read about Dimona quite a bit, and I was wondering how, if the brothers could enlighten me and or us on how different this new community is compared to the one of Dimona. That's all.
Okay. Yes, dear. the website is GHMOAB. W, so I'm going to try to say it slow because it's long. thmoabw.wix.com/m-v-w-organization. Now I'm going to repeat it one more time. thmoabw.wix.com/m-v-w-organization. Now, you can go on our website and check out all of our different programs we have for building this nation. If you want to get involved, please get involved. Click on donate and support the cause. The nation is in hurt, you know. Genesis 12 says, if you bless the nation, you will be blessed. If you curse this nation, you will be cursed. So, you know, we all know that Israel is in mourning in the four corners, but Israel is also in mourning at home. So we all know that we have to have a home to come to, so why not bless the homeland and be blessed? And the second question.
I think your question was, what were some differences between this community, Members of a Better World, and the community in Dimona?
Yes, like significantly, what is different? I know the sister answered the question about accountability and how different it's going to be, but then I didn't get the difference between what this community that you're building, how is it going to be different from the one that we were building in Dimona?
a number of ways. First of all, we are going to have evolved beyond the top-down leadership structure that we found ourselves left with, and we are making our structure much more horizontal, that is to say much more inclusive of input from everybody on every level. Second of all, instead of having a very one-way kind of communication system, we are making great efforts to promote and maintain transparency. That is to say, we want in this day and time to let everyone know that everything that we are doing is open to scrutiny, and everything that we are developing, we are developing with the input of as many as possible. We are working daily to encourage, and we are also first of all legally sanctioned by the State of Israel as an organization, as a non-government organization. So that legality lends to our being not only able, but being more capable than ever before of protecting every member of the community from any arbitrary misuse of their rights. We have a constitution that speaks to due process so that no individual in the community can arbitrarily decide that some other member should not be there. And anyone who violates those things puts their own membership in the community in jeopardy. So these are not necessarily guarantees, but these are those activities and methods which are going to strengthen ourselves and strengthen the protection of any member of the community and anyone who might want to become a member of the community. So if you go to the website and you'll see that what we have to say backs up everything I've just told you. We urge you to get involved, and as Brother David has said, we urge you to support us.
Hallelujah. Let me make an announcement real quick before we finish, because we have a lot of people on this line. We have quite a few people in the chat line as well. We have 17 minutes left before we go into overtime. And if you are in the chat line, on the chat, and you want to be a part of this program, you have to call in before 5:30. Because if you allow it to become 5:30, it will automatically cut you off. We want you to ask as many questions as possible. And we have we want to be able to offer this information to everyone so that they'll know what's going on. Now, I have the other sister that was on here who got disconnected. I will definitely bring her back on. But before I do, I wanted to make this announcement to everyone. We have quite a bit of different organizations that are online and that are on this show that we have invited on this show. And for the organizations that want to get involved with your program, because I know that's one of the biggest questions, especially some that are on their way to Israel, how would they make that transition in getting in touch with you once they get there? Because we have organizations that are going to be there, I think, this week. They're leaving this week. How will they get in touch with you so that they can be a part of the program?
I would be perfectly willing to give out my contact number as a representative, as in fact the Vice President of Members of a Better World. Anyone who contacts myself will be glad to forward that, their information to our office and prepare to receive them.
Okay, brother, well, what we would have you to do, if you don't mind, because we don't want you to give it out over the air, what we'd like for you to do is email us, Sister Mahalaya, if you would email me his information and his phone number and everything and his email address and everything, I will be more than happy to pass that information on to anyone who is interested in contacting the brother while you guys are yet over in Israel and any other organizations, because we have a lot of organizations on the line today. We have some very large organizations. Some of the brothers who are actually involved in the street ministries are on here, and they've been doing diligently working to recruit people. We have a lot of people on the line right now that are in from all walks. So we want to make sure we have a brother here from Chicago. He has his own television show, and these are ways that we get this information out there. We want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to get an opportunity to be able to be a part of this movement. So I'm going to open up her mic, and we ask you all, if you have a website and you want to give your website to your organization, please feel free to do that. But as it relates to the Better World, we will, if you contact us, and you can contact us at theYehudaProject@gmail.com, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. We will pass this information on to you because we don't want to put all of their information out over the air for apparent reasons. So since I'm going to open your mic back up, and then I'm going to go to 513, and then I'm going to go to area code 484. So here we go. Sis, are you there? The computer's taking a long time to take her back on, but we'll get her on here in a moment. While we're yet getting her on, I don't know what's taking so long to get her back on the air. But do you all have any other questions? Brother Adonijah, do you have any questions?
Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. No, most of my questions have been answered. You understand? I was really concerned about people with fixed incomes, you know, but y'all answered that. You have access to all the banking systems and everything. Y'all had me on the word say go. You understand? So I'm eager to try to do something to help to establish the true house of Israel. And I can understand the sister being apprehensive, man. You know, we've been in this little so-called safe haven, you understand, for such a long period of time, man. You understand, we don't want to jump out the frying pan and right into the fire. But, you know, if you trust in the Almighty with all your heart and all your soul, he will protect us, and he won't not let anything happen to you. And we got to understand that this is a opportunity of a lifetime. You understand? We got a chance to save our children, but we got to roll up our sleeves and get busy. All praises
and
to the high.
Brother Adonijah. We have to be willing to move out of our comfort zone to do what it is that God calls upon us to do today.
That is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else have a question? The ones that we have the mic open, because we're having systems issues right now, of course. You know the enemy is going to mess with us because we're doing something positive, and they're trying their best, but that's okay because we're going to keep moving by the name of Yah. So if you guys have any other things that you want to speak on right now, please feel free. We're reconnecting our server right now to the internet. So go ahead if you have any other comments you want to make.
I just wanted to share something that we had written previously explaining a redefinition of our fellowship. So rather, we try to make it succinct so everybody understands where we are. And another response to the sister's question, who wanted to know what kind of community we were putting together this time and at this point. What we want is enlightened self-governance, which will not deflect or dilute or our direct relationship with the Holy One of Israel, but rather will uphold and advance that divine relationship. The divine order implied by the ancient original phrase, our God and our people, has been compromised. The demonic leadership, quote-unquote, has imposed itself between our unrighteous system, our God and our people. This unenlightened, unsanctioned arrangement has resulted in an unrighteous system which has only served to turn the blessings of freedom
into the curses of servility. This can only be ended by the enlightened self-governance, which godly people deserve and are due. So we go on to say that any dictatorship is by its nature ungodly. And no scripture in the Tanakh, that is in the writings of the Tanakh, subscribe or support dictatorship over the house of Israel. We just want the people to know who have previously understood the system of demonic leadership to be one infected with a dictatorial stance, that it's intolerable, and we have gotten rid of it with the help of Yah. And so we want everyone to know that we're prepared to make room for all those minds, hearts, and souls who are ready to come to Israel. And we want to make that the safe haven that Yah wants it to be.
All right. We're going on. Let me try to get her again. Hold on one moment. We're going to try to get her one more time. Area code 484, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, yes. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praises and honor to the great King and all the works that he has done for Israel. Shalom, brothers and sisters. My name is Don Sar Rabah Ben Israel. I've been listening to basically all the information that has been going on and the great works that Yah has been stirring up and causing Israel to make these great movements. I am part of I'm a part of several groups. Basically, I'm an activist, and I tend to stay active in Israel. And whenever I hear all these activities going on, I try to be a part of it as much as I can. Recently, as part of the Calendar Coalition, we sent some brothers over there if you're not familiar with the Calendar Coalition, we've been in existence for over 15 years, going on 20 years now. And basically, we kind of provide a basis of the holy days for our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, based on the land, the moon. We have done our studies, in-depth studies, on the calendar and the actual the variations and the movement of the moon, and our historical background tells us that we kept the lunar calendar, and with that we have been able to do continuous studies on that, and we have been providing the service to the various communities and the holy days, the time periods of the holy days, based on as close to the Torah as possible. I just wanted to know if we could, is there any ways that we have a connection that we can set up? Because our brothers, when they come over there, and our sisters, when they come over there, we want to be able to establish a working relationship, because everybody is not going to be able to come over to the land. But what we do want to do is get everybody in the mind frame of this understanding of that it is the will of Yah, and wherever we may be, we want them to get the understanding that wherever you are, that you have that affinity, that relationship with the Creator. And by providing these holy days, this is an important area that we as a people are connected with. This is a must. This is a command by the Most High that we have to fulfill this. And so with that, we are always trying to establish, especially in the land. We have been unable in the past relationships with some of the other groups in the land to establish our relationship as far as the month of Abib. Basically, we actually look for the Abib. And that kind of lets us know there are certain types of characteristics that's needed into the actual observance of the various holy days. One is the Abib, which begins the actual month, the first month of our calendar year, the month of Abib. And then the Abib is we look for the barley, which is the springing up of, or the beginning of the springing up of the barley as an indicator, along with the moon, the first crescent. We are in the process of trying to develop brothers and sisters who are actually doing the observance of the actual observing the crescent moon to help us to give an understanding when the crescent moon is actually in the fullness in the land of Israel, and that alerts the various communities when the new year will begin, and also when we begin our holy days. And this is the relationship we want to build, and we definitely in hearing what type of services, what type of works that you are providing in the community. We wanted to know if we could build that relationship, strong relationship, and making this possible. Torah.
Okay, now let me make a quick announcement, because we have 4 minutes left before we go into overtime. All of you all that are in the chat room, please dial in now, because in 4 minutes you will be cut off. And I did get the sister on the line, so I'm going to open up her mic before we're not able to. And then once they answer the brother's question, Sister Tamar, from that he just asked, then your mic is open and you can go for it.
All right. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. Todah Yah. For the stirring up Israel in all the lands in which we have been scattered. I just want to say, you did kind of somewhat answer my question, because you did mention that you would convey the information to the family about personal contact information over the airways. But I did to say that we will be traveling, a few delegates and myself from the United Nations of Israel will be traveling to the land this coming Yom Kamishi. And I want to very much be able to link up with my brothers and sisters there. We want to be able to come to Mount Ararat and be able to do our prayers, lift up our prayers there on the holy day. And we actually follow the One Nation Calendar Coalition, which has mark the holy day coming to be on the 8th, but I know that some of the brothers and sisters are going to be observing it.
Okay, I'm getting some feedback. I don't know if that's from her phone or what. Let me use her and see if that makes a difference. Okay, that was her phone. I'm sorry about that, Sister Tamar. We were getting some serious feedback from you guys. So you guys want to answer that question for them in terms of we're going to give you all the information. Just email us. And Sister Tamar, I have your email information. As soon as Mahalaya emails me the personal contact information of the organization, we will definitely get that to you. We will get that to you today to make sure that you have everything you need. But we have some feedback coming back from off your phone. So what is there anything else that anyone else has a question that they want to try to get out? And let me see if I can get her phone back on again, and maybe we can eliminate the feedback and see if she's there. Let's try it again, because we've been having trouble, and it keeps on going around and around and around. Okay, she's over. Sister Tamar, we have some feedback off of your phone. Okay, we're gonna have to just put her on mute. Okay, so again, we have 1 minute before you guys in the chat line are going to be disconnected. So you really do need to call in if you have any questions. And you know what? I just want to say, you know, we have a television program that a brother has in Chicago that's very, very big, and it's taking off. We have a brother here that's been in this movement for years in California. He has his own organization that's across the United States, and they do street ministry and teaching. The Nation of Yehuda, we have our own school of knowledge where we've already set up a school And we have people that are Christian, Muslims, Hebrews that are in our school right now, and we're definitely looking for instructors, because once we put this program together for this organization, we're going to need people to help us to facilitate this, because we want this to be a very, very successful endeavor. Is there any other information that you would like to give to the listening audience?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Yes, I do have something. Make sure you go to the website. I'm going to, we'll email that to you. But donate. Please donate to the cause. Bless Israel and be blessed.
Oh, definitely. And we want to also put that up for all of you all that have Knessas, that have organizations, that have created movements. We need to start donating money to these organizations, even if it's nothing but $10, $20 a month. Of course, they need more than that, but if that's what we have to start, we need to start supporting, because that's our homeland. And if we're going to build any economy at all, we need to start focusing on building the economy where our homeland is, because that's where Yah is all continually. His eyes is continually on that land. So we have a responsibility, and we're definitely, as long as it's positive, we are 100% behind you. We will be there to do whatever you need us to do to help to facilitate it on this end, to be a filter, to be an educator, to be a transitioner, so that when the group comes over, they know what to expect from an education standpoint, and then you guys can take them from a reality standpoint as into what they're to expect. I'm excited. I'm ready to come home. There's a few things that I have to do first, but we will be here. The Nation of Yehuda will be here as a catalyst. We may be the last group to make the transition, but we'll be here to make sure that anybody that wants to come has the opportunity to be able to do that. So, again, we're going to need everybody. I mean, this is just not a one-organization movement. We're going to need everybody to put boots on the ground, because we're unemployed over here. You're right. We're being murdered at an alarming rate. We're unemployed. We're mistreated. From the rich to the poor, the conditions are still the same, and we need to make some effort to be able to change it. And if the statistics are as you say it is over in Israel, we've never experienced that here. This is the land of our captivity, and it's time for us to start making preparations. Some of us will go ahead before the great movement, before the masses come. There's always a group that goes ahead to prepare, and we'll be ready to do that. We have come to the recording session of this, so if there's anything else, you guys have the last comments or words. If there's any other questions you have, please feel free to push them on.
We'd like to just share with everyone that MBW, Members of a Better World Services, are geared toward reconstituting and rebuilding the community in the city of Arad, Israel, where we are headquartered, as well as throughout the surrounding southern region of Israel. The organization was built by 40 families in Arad who examined and identified and addressed the core needs that impact our financial and social independence within our community. After several years of research activities, our official work started in June of 2013 with our model focused on independently generating funds to support projects promoting self-sufficiency. We welcome and urge your help and support. We want to let you know that we are here working to provide and continue to build a safe haven for all of those who love peace and who are willing to live in righteousness with other brothers and sisters. And that's what we are, and that's who we are, and that's what we do.
All right.
We want to thank you. Thank you so much, sister, for having us on and allowing us to share our message.
Well,
hallelujah.
I would like to say something to you guys before we hang up. I want to say that I believe that it would be probably fitting for us to do this radio show on an ongoing basis. So you all are more than welcome if you want to use this day on the Yehuda Project to actually give updates and to continue to advertise, you are more than welcome to do that. We open up all of our resources to you, and if you guys would like to do this on a weekly basis or maybe every 2 weeks or once a month, whatever you want to do, please let us know. You're more than welcome to have this day, because I think this is important enough for people to be able to come and ask questions. There should be a question and answer where they can physically speak to someone. So please feel free to do that if you would like. Brother Donia, go ahead if you want.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. I just want to say that I am elated and overwhelmed, you understand, with the fact that we're on our way home. We finally made that transition here, you understand, from being stagnated here in America and not having an understanding on which way to go. The Almighty is revealing things to us now, you understand. We need to take heed and make some movements. And I am so proud of you guys that's staying in the way. See, that's the major thing. We got to stay in the way that the Almighty has chosen for us. You understand? And He will bless our hand. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Holy One of Israel. And Torah for you.
Okay. Sister Mahalaya, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any last parting comments for our guests and our audience?
I just wanted to say, in closing, I love you all with a perfect love, and I just hope that you can, you know, feel my spirit, feel my heart, and I just wanted to extend to you, you know, a very warm welcome. Hope to see you here in the Holy Land. You know, we have greens over here. we have good eating over here too, you know. just wanna say it's gonna be a glorious day when the saints come marching in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'd like to say that we say from the Yehuda Project, from the nation of Yehuda, from the royal house of King, that we're on our way back to our land, because we have to visit our ancestors' graves, and we want to be able to bow down in that land and give Yah all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, all that belongs to Him. We're going to shake off this American culture, and we're coming back to embrace our culture. And I commend you all for being the catalyst that's going to be there. The 40 years has not been in vain. You were brought there for a reason, so that you can make the transition smooth for us. And we are looking forward to spending some time with our brothers and sisters in the homeland. And again, like I said, we're going to sit down and put together a strategy so that we can do that. And this day for you is open in us that you can take if you would like to be able to do your program and be able to talk to the people here and all over the world to answer any questions they may have. And if there's nothing else, we'd like to say thank you to all of the people who have taken time out of their day. You guys are at work and you cut your phones on to listen. We say shalom, shalom to everybody. And we'll see you on Sunday, the same time, same place, the Yehuda Project. And we look forward to beginning our journey back to the homeland. We're going to build our own nation. Brother Adonia, what time is it?
It's nation building time. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. See you guys later. Shalom, shalom. Toda ya, tawada ya. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
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 Peace and blessing. Shalom. See you at the Feast of First Fruits.
If allowed, may I touch your hand? And if please, may I once again, so that you too will understand. There's a ribbon in the sky for our
Shalom, shalom. This again is Yaina Yisrael from the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project, and we say again thank you so much for your continued commitment. We'll see you on Sunday. We'll see you on Yom Rosham, Sunday, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to hearing from you. And if those brothers and sisters want to come back next Tuesday, we'll be here then too, because like a brother Adonai said, it's nation building time. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to go home and prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you. Much love. Bye-bye.